From the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Welcome. Clint.
Yes, Clint is not here this week.
Bye, Clint.
Yes, he is out sick and has bronchitis. So if you listened to last week's podcast, he didn't sound that great last week. So he decided to take this week off to get better. So as you've already heard, our returning champion, Emily, is back, a.k.a. at Geek Notice, to fill in as co-host this week.
I just want Clint to feel better. That's all I want.
Didn't you wish upon his death last time or something?
Quiet.
Okay, so we got all kinds of things to talk about this week. Various news in the theme park variety and a little bit of pop culture. First up, last week, Disney was nice enough to invite us out to check out the new Cars stuff that is now at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And Emily, you went there along with Clint to check out all the things. So what did you see?
First off, ka-chow. But yeah, so they let us come out to experience the new Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy, which debuted, I want to say, like last Sunday? Yes. But yeah, it's at Hollywood Studios. It's right next to Rock and Roller Coaster. I don't think they've ever really used the space as an attraction before. They used it for things like Club Villain and whatnot, but not really like for an actual show or ride. So that's pretty cool that they're utilizing new areas. But yeah, so there is kind of like two things to experience back there. When you first walk in, it's weird because they don't have like times or anything. So you kind of just have to play it by ear and just kind of wait around to see. But they have both Cruz Ramirez and DJ from the Cars movies outside for you to take photos with. And DJ actually has his own little like street party. It's called DJ's Ready Set Party Time. And that has like the pit crew. It's usually four people from Lightning McQueen's pit crew come out, and they just do like fun little dances, and they have like interactive activities with kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely something cool to just kind of sit there and experience. But the main thing is, like I said, the Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy. It's about like a 10-minute show. Basically, it just kind of, before it's, you get a pre-show, and we have the video of this up on the YouTube channel as well as the DJ's Ready Set Party Time show.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of gives you a brief overlay if you've like never heard of cars in your life and you're like, wow, why are they sentient? So it kind of gives you that, and then introduces you to the Lightning McQueen, which the animatronic is super cool.
I was going to say, what did you think of the animatronic? I've only seen videos because I haven't had an opportunity to go out there and see the show yet. And from what I've seen, just based on videos alone, and I've ridden the Cars ride out in California Adventure.
Lucky.
That animatronic is pretty impressive.
Yeah, so it has been, I counted, it has been 11 years since I've been to Disneyland. So Cars Land wasn't a thing. So unfortunately, I can't attest to that. But if you have horrible ADHD like I do, you just keep watching the Lightning McQueen animatronic. And that's kind of the point. But you're supposed to be, you know, enjoying the show. And I'm just like, how does it work? How does it work? How does it work? I want to say it's like on a hydraulic lift type thing, but it's, you can't really tell because like the tires are moving and it's just so interactive. And it's definitely now, you know, it feels like we're still stuck in the times at times with like, you know, Haunted Mansion or Pirates of the Caribbean animatronics, what we see at like other parks. And then Disney's like, hey, do you want to see like a live sentient car? And I'm like, yes. So it's really cool. It's really cool to just kind of sit there and be like, how do you work?
And he's like the centerpiece of the show.
Yes,
but this,
he's the entire centerpiece.
They put in like almost a 270 degree wraparound screen.
Yeah, it's like a 17-foot tall screen, I want to say they said.
That's pretty huge, and I know at least I don't know if it's 270 degrees, but I know it goes through around a large part of the theater.
Yeah, it's definitely like bigger like than an IMAX screen or anything like that. But yeah, it's just, it's the show, to kind of spoil it for you. I don't know if somebody's really scared if I spoil this, but it's just basically Lightning McQueen wants to show you a simulator of like how he trains and how he gets ready for races, and you kind of get interrupted at some point, but you know, it gets back on course and everything's okay.
Which is sort of funny, because if you've seen Cars 3 and know the plot to Cars 3,
I don't, so
none of that makes any sense. So
well, it made sense for me because I've only seen the first two. So but yeah, it was cute. I mentioned it to Clint while we were there very nicely, but I said, I don't think anyone asked for this, but we definitely need it, especially with Galaxy's Edge coming. It is a people eater, and it's fun. So it's definitely something else to do in that park, because that park is slowly suffering from having that much to do there.
From the moment that was announced, we were like, okay, well, that's definitely to eat people, because that space was built to replace the old backlot theater.
Yes.
That was torn down as a like I said, it was used for Club Villain, it was used for special events,
but never like a permanent attraction.
But now they've sort of turned that whole area where the theater is into, like, I guess sort of a little Cars area in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's a really good addition to the park. Like I said, the park really needed it.
So. Yeah, like Clint said all on countless podcasts that park is going to need every single bit of entertainment it can handle, because it doesn't have the attraction capacity, but they can add more shows. And
well, that's the thing too. This theater is pretty big. It has 3 sections, I want to say 15 rows of like bleacher seats.
Yeah.
And you can easily fit, I want to say, like 7 to 8 people in a row. So it's enough. It's enough to get people in there.
It's definitely a smart addition. Based on what you guys said and a lot of other people said, everybody seems pretty positive about it. So
yeah, I mean, it's the internet, so you'll see things where someone's like, I loved it, and then someone else is like, I hate it. But it's, you know, I enjoyed it. Clint really enjoyed it. And I mean, I even rushed back there yesterday and I took my boyfriend. I was like, you got to see this animatronic, because he doesn't really care about Disney things. And he like came out, he's like, that was pretty cool. And I'm like, yes. So
that is now open at Disney's Hollywood Studios. For me, a quick wrap up. What I did last week is I checked out the final week of Mardi Gras.
I was supposed to go.
As it ended its run at Universal Studios Florida. Yeah, Emily was supposed to go.
But that was the same day that the Lightning McQueen thing happened. And then Clint was like, let's also go to Magic Kingdom. And I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. And by the time I'm done walking around Magic Kingdom, I'm like, I can't do this. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So, I mean, we got to... finally this year, Ride Afloat, which is always, to me, is my favorite thing to do at Mardi Gras.
It's the best thing to do at Mardi Gras.
It is the best thing. I jokingly say it's one of the best rides in the park. So
it is, though.
It's the most fun. And then the following night, came back. That was the night I was supposed to meet up with you. I ended up meeting up with our friend Shelby. And tried to get on a float again, but I forgot that the second to last night is basically like, for float riding, is like team member night.
Well, it's also too how the schedules for Mardi Gras work is that it's basically, you know, whoever performers were on the night before, that was like their last night. So now it's like their chance to actually go and experience Mardi Gras.
Yeah. So we didn't not get on a float that night, but we did if you went to facebook.com/jewelgeek, we did live stream the second to last Mardi Gras parade of 2019. Mardi Gras is done. We're now less than 5 months away from Halloween Horror Nights.
Yes.
So we're, you know, like I said, we've already had one announcement. We will get more, but
it's almost like we'll get 9 more.
Yes.
Weird.
Well, actually, I guess maybe. Well, no, unless they double up, you know, they also got the scare zones. I think they usually split the scare zone ones.
Yeah.
But, so we'll have more of that. So that's it for Mardi Gras 2019 at Universal Studios Florida.
See you later, Mardi Gras.
Now, Emily, they announced an event, Disney did, for the Magic Kingdom. that you got very excited about once they announced the event and the details with this new After Hours event coming.
Yeah, because everything in my life revolves around the Disney villains, and the fact that Disney's actually giving me something that means something to me is great. But yes, they announced the Disney Villains After Hours event coming to Magic Kingdom. It's coming from June 6th to August 8th. If anybody loves me enough, my birthday is August 8th, I'm just saying. But yeah, so I don't know if, like, anybody's aware, but Disney After Hours events are basically a ticketed event where you go at a block at night, usually from, like, 9 p.m. to midnight. But you get just pretty much empty park access to rides. You get usually, like, ice cream, popcorn, stuff like that. Super cool. Except this time, they're like, hey, do you want everything to be based around the Disney villains? And it's like, yeah, I do. So there is going to be a stage show featuring Hades and Meg from Hercules. And I probably will cry the entire time during it. But yeah, so it's a whole brand new stage show only for this ticketed event. Apparently, the Maleficent dragon float from Festival of Fantasy will just be like roaming around. I don't know how that works, but I'm excited for it.
I'm assuming she's going to wander down the parade route.
I mean, I hope so. It'd be, like, super awkward cramming her in places. But, yeah, no, I just want to be, like, walking in the middle of the street and be like, ooh, fire. But, yeah, apparently they don't really say what it says villainous enhancements, but I don't really know what that means because it just says that the enhancements are going to Pirates of the Caribbean and Space Mountain, which makes me think it's just like the overlays that they do for Mickey's Not So Scary. I don't know.
It wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the only thing I could think maybe with Space Mountain is throwing in some projections or something.
Yeah,
sort of like,
I don't know.
Like Disneyland has for their
hyperspace.
Yeah, well, for that, I forgot the scary version of Space Mountain there. I'm going blank now.
11 years, remember, 11 years.
Yeah, when this was first announced, I was sort of like, really, this much for it? But then, you know, the price is $139 in advance.
But you get a $30 discount if you are a pass holder or a Vacation Club member, so.
But the interesting thing, once I looked at it, it's like, you're only paying, you're paying $14 more than you would for the normal After Hours event at the Magic Kingdom.
It's mostly because you're paying for, you know, the entertainment.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, too, even I made sure to include this when I did the article as well. I guess apparently there's not going to be like the free ice cream and popcorn and stuff like that, because it did say like by the Disney Parks blog that beverage and food will be available for purchase.
I think they are still. You're still going to have the free ice cream and the popcorn.
But oh, thank God!
I think they're going to have additional food and beverage. You know, which I'm wondering if some of this will eventually be the same stuff that's at the Halloween party. But
well, I kind of did like a compare contrast thing. Like if we're talking about the two separate events, we have either now you see the Hercules stage show or you see Hocus Pocus. You don't have a parade, but you get the dragon. Yeah. You don't have fireworks, but you have food and beverage and merchandise. But the only thing that I don't like about this is that the characters will not be available for meet and greets during the event.
Yeah, that to me was my one negative note. To me, the thing
is to throw a whole villains thing and then not let you meet the villains.
That would have put it over the top would be instead of having the princess meet and greets open, which I think usually are open for the After Hours event.
I believe so.
Having the villains instead. That's to me is maybe the one thing that's sort of like, why didn't they do that?
Yeah, that's like the number one complaint I've heard online is everyone just pretty much not understanding why that's not going to be a thing, which it honestly doesn't make sense why they wouldn't have them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I once that's probably my only negative aspect. But then you, when you look at it, it's like for basically $14 more than the regular after hours event, you're getting a stage show.
You're getting more entertainment.
You're getting a little bit more entertainment than you would if you normally would go to the regular after hours event. The tickets have not gone on sale yet. They'll go on April 29th. I'm going to be interested to see what nights they are. Because I remember last summer, they scheduled after hours events on Saturday nights, which really, for those of us who are Platinum Pass holders, was a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
But that will kick off. I'm going blank.
Oh, God. What, you mean like when it starts? Like when the event starts?
Yeah, it says in here.
It's June 6th to August 8th. I said that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
I was just tagging out on the end here, wrapping it up.
So. Barry's asleep right now, so I'm going to carry the rest of this podcast. I'm sorry.
Continuing with the spooky stuff.
Spooky.
Or the slightly spooky stuff. Coming April 13th, which will be for, we're recording on a Monday night, so it'll be this Saturday. There will be a special Haunted Mansion themed celebration on April 13th to mark the other thing that's being added to the Haunted Mansion is the new photo pass capture that is in the Haunted Mansion, and this is the 13th attraction with Disney Photo Pass. So they will be offering a hauntingly fun celebration on April 13th, 2019, in Liberty Square at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I'm so glad they decided to do that the first day of blockout dates. So I won't be going.
How convenient of them. First of all, if the on-ride photo pass that has been added, it's done with the part where the ghost host goes no flash pictures,
which I think is funny.
Yeah, which is cool, and then they take your picture, and then you end up with a photo that has you in the Doom Buggy with three of the different ghosts from the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
So, I've seen some of them so far, and if you're looking the right direction and everything, they come out pretty good.
But most of the time, you're not.
Yeah.
So...
So it's all about knowing which direction you're looking in. But on April 13th, they'll be offering some different photo pass options for that day. Starting at 9 a.m., you'll be able to hold a Tomb Suite Tomb prop at the exit of the Haunted Mansion. Also, there will be a photographer near the hearse where you can do a photo op with the hitchhiking ghosts. And then you can do the Hatbox Ghost Magic Shop.
Good job.
Shot. That'll be over near the entrance of Liberty Square Riverboat. Now, a lot of these are things that have been offered at Mickey's Not So Scary before. Then in the evening at Memento Mori, there will be a photographer that will capture orbs that hang out near the mansion.
Even though they're Mickey-shaped...
And then another photo op that's usually at Mickey's Not So Scary is you'll be able to hold the groundskeeper's lantern outside of the caretaker's lantern outside the exit of the attraction, which actually again normally at Mickey's Not So Scary they usually do the lantern at the sign.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit different. So, and then there'll be a couple of snacks. There's only one snack. Yeah, the one snack, which actually, that snack looks pretty good. They're calling it a brow key, which it looks like a brookie.
It's just the brookie.
Yeah, it's a brookie with what looks like a macaroon on top of it.
Maybe that's why they're trying to get fancy.
That's inspired by the clock inside the attraction. That treat is $6.99.
But you're getting technically two treats.
Yeah. And also at night, the Cadaver Dans, which are normally only at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, will also be performing after the sun goes down.
That is the one part I'm super upset about that I can't go.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, a few of these things are stuff normally you can only do at Mickey's Not So Scary. So, I mean, it's pretty neat. I mean, it's nice to see that we're getting some more things that are similar to, like, stuff Disneyland would get, where they'd have, like, these special one-day things. And it's nice to see, at least here in Disney World, which, you know, has a large annual pass holder base, not the same size as Disneyland, but still has a pretty large one. It's nice that they're doing these little things like this. You know, we've been getting the VIP pass holder nights, including they're giving one. They just did one, announced one for two nights at Typhoon Lagoon. And that's for people who don't have a pass to Typhoon Lagoon.
Even see that. That's cool.
Yeah.
We have one, but you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're gonna go third time's the charm to try to make it to the Magic Kingdom.
Oh Lord.
So unfortunately the Typhoon Lagoon ones did not fit with any availability that we had. So that is that's this Saturday, April 13th. Obviously if you hear this after that, then you missed out.
Whoops.
Whoopsie. After that, you know, we got some dates announced for the final two Epcot festivals of the year.
Yeah. So, I mean, in case, like, you know, you're not going to a little place called Galaxy's Edge on August 29th, you could totally go to the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot if you do so please. I will be at home scared of crowds. But yeah, so it runs from August 29th through November 23rd, which is the longest Food and Wine Festival ever in the history of the world.
Yeah, this is the first time they're running it through the weekend before Thanksgiving.
That is 87 days.
Yeah.
87 days of Food and Wine.
Albeit the Eat to the Beat concert series will only run from August 29th to the 19th.
So because they have to set up for Candlelight Processional.
Yep. So that final weekend will have no concerts.
Yeah. But speaking of the Candlelight Processional, I jump into my next subject, which is the Epcot International Festival of the Holidays actually starts literally at the end of Food and Wine, pretty much, at November 29th through December 30th, when it's pretty much the same stuff as last year. There's nothing really new that was announced, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I find it interesting they've gone back to starting at the day after Thanksgiving, where last year they started it before Thanksgiving. Mm. The processional always starts the day after Thanksgiving, but the festival actually last year started, I believe, the weekend before Thanksgiving.
I think so.
So it's going to be interesting to see, and it'll be interesting to see, will we get a holiday finale to the Epcot Forever?
That'd be fun.
Show that we'll be playing at the time. So that will be interesting to see if we get that this year. Because we did sort of make a big deal about, hey, this is the last Illuminations holiday tag.
Yeah, I know.
So, yep. So that'll be back.
They didn't really give too many details. They just gave dates.
Yeah.
I don't have any scrumptious delicious details to give anyone, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely get things out there early, like the tickets for Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party went on sale today, so.
What was it, verbatim? I think Clint sent it, and I just woke up, and I was like, it's too early for Christmas, and then went back to sleep. I was like, no.
Well, that's just, you know, they want to get those tickets out there so people can plan as far in advance as possible. So.
And I think they're more expensive now, too. I think they're starting at $100. So that's fun.
Yeah. It's you know, everything's expensive.
Well, everything's expensive when you're as poor as I am, so.
Yes.
Whoops.
But, that's so yeah, those are the festivals coming to Epcot.
Yeah.
Christmas party tickets are on sale, and Bo Peep from Toy Story 4 is coming to Disney Parks this summer.
I hope she's not as nightmare fuelish as the other one that we've received prior.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Is this going to be a face character, or
I hope so.
Or is it going to be like it's been in the past with using a mask?
Please don't. It's so scary.
Yeah, she will be coming to Disney parks, including in Asia, Disney World, and Disneyland. They didn't really get into much specifics besides that, besides she will appear as she does in Toy Story 4 and sort of her badass Bo Peep outfit.
I love it.
With her staff.
But yeah, that's just my one hope. I just hope that she doesn't look like a monster.
Yeah, so Toy Story 4 comes to theaters June 21st, so I would imagine probably in June.
When she was coming out?
No.
Oh, no.
No, it was another one of those. Hey, she's coming. We're not going to tell you exactly when announcements.
Well, we'll see her eventually. That's all that matters.
I would imagine sometime probably in June. Probably a couple weeks before the movie comes out, maybe.
Maybe. Who knows?
So, and we're plenty of Disney news this week.
So much Disney.
Over in Animal Kingdom, they announced a new nighttime dining event.
Yeah, it's called Circle of Flavors Harambe at Night. So it's basically just the small gist of it. It is drawing inspiration from African culture and different animals. The long and short of it is basically you will have a welcome reception in Harambe. You will take the Wildlife Express train station back to the newly reopened Rafiki's Planet Watch. Experience like some food and drink and character interactions there. And then you just basically come right back and experience more food. But yeah, it says that there be snacks, beverages, which are alcoholic and non-alcoholic. Some acoustic music. That's pretty cool. They'll also be able to meet Timon and Rafiki. But that's about it. The price is $125 plus tax for adults and $99 plus tax for children 3 through 9. And it starts on July 24th, 2019.
Yeah, so this is a new nighttime dining event. We've been seeing more and more of things like this, and definitely based on the pictures we have on the article on ThrillGeek.com, definitely feels like a lot of African-inspired cuisine.
It looks so good.
Yeah. And, like you said, July 24th, and the pricing is $125 for adults, $99 for children.
But yeah, think of it, you're getting alcohol.
Yes. Get drunk with your kids. So.
Get drunk with Timon and... I almost said Timon and Pumbaa, but that's a lie. It's just no Pumbaa, just Rafiki.
No, I mean, it's we've seen them offer more and more like experiences like this. And sometimes I think they come up with these things and they just sort of throw them out there and see how well they do.
I mean, like, for example, like one I didn't even know existed. Apparently, there's going to be like a barbecue for Toy Story. Mm-hmm. I think coming to like Fort Wilderness or something like that. Mm-hmm. Never even heard of it. Disney was just like, "Nah, we're doing this." And I'm like, okay.
Well, they had what was it, Mickey's Backyard Barbecue?
Something. So now it's just Toy Story themed.
And then they stopped it. I think because of the construction that's going on with the new resort.
Probably, yeah.
It's another interesting dining event. You know, being locals, we usually don't do things like this, but
also money.
Yeah. So, that's coming to Animal Kingdom, and that kicks off July 24th, and reservations are open now.
Go do it.
So, we're going to go to the other side of the world.
Maybe Barry is.
Yeah. Easter is back at Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo DisneySea.
Yay!
Because of the 35th anniversary last year, Tokyo Disneyland did not celebrate Easter, so it is back for the first time in both parks for the for the first time in 2 years. And it's kicked off already, and it runs through June 2nd.
Because why not? Easter goes that long, right? Everyone loves bunnies.
And, you know, I mean, we've talked on here before, Tokyo Disney does multiple special event stuff throughout the year and has parades for the special event stuff. At Tokyo Disneyland, I believe it started a few years ago. They came up with these bunny-eared egg characters called Usatami. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right.
You probably aren't, but it's okay. Keep going.
But basically, the story is that the Disney friends were busy making Easter eggs in preparation for Easter when the Usatamis escape into the park, creating pandemonium. So there's all kinds of special decoration displays and photo locations throughout the park of you know, the Usatamis wreaking havoc. There's a scavenger hunt, but the big thing is there's a parade.
Yes, Barry loves his Tokyo parades.
Yes, a seasonal parade, which they have a lot of.
Yes, they do.
The Usatami on the Run parade, where... you know, we've got one picture of the Mickey float on this parade. And this is, I mean, if you love colorful characters, you're going to love this parade.
So it's basically targeted at sin.
Yes. I was like, don't look at pictures of the Easter stuff at Tokyo Disney. And
she's we cannot go. We can't afford to.
And she's like, no, that's going to be the next time. She's like, after Halloween, that's the next time we go. The Usatami on the Run parade features over 90 performers.
Jeez.
As they try to catch the runaway Usatami. And like I said, this thing looks cute. I've watched some video of it, and the soundtrack for it is really, really catchy as hell.
Are you going to start singing that instead of Dreaming Up?
No.
No? Okay.
I've watched snippets. I try not... to watch stuff. One of the reasons why I think I liked Dreaming Up so much is the fact that outside of some pictures and some short clips, I did not watch the parade before I saw it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it just completely blew me away. But then over Tokyo Disney's Easter continues there, and their new theme this year is these Usapio, and I'm probably saying that wrong, characters who are cute, innocent little chicks wearing bunny ears.
Wow, I love them.
And you can see, if you see the picture in the article, they are cute as a button. They make an appearance in the new Tip Top Easter show, which takes place in Mediterranean Harbor, which was same place where if you've seen the video of the Christmas show that we have on the YouTube channel, it basically takes across three stages. In the Mediterranean Harbor, it's a 25-minute show that features four boats in the harbor besides on the people on the stages and 130 performers.
Oh my god.
And of course guests will find Usapio decorations and photo locations around Mediterranean Harbor and the American waterfront. You know, that's on top of all the merchandise, the specialty food.
I was about to say, they ain't done yet.
Yeah, and there's, you know, and even at the there'll be some specialty stuff also at the official Disney hotels and on the Disney Resort line, which usually it's like if you buy like a monorail, like 3-day pass or something, you get like a special specialty ticket or something.
That's cool.
But yeah, I mean, you can go to thrillgeek.com to check out the article. And as usual, another thing that makes us jealous of Tokyo.
Everything makes me jealous of Tokyo.
We would love to have a 2-month-long Easter celebration here.
I'd take it. I'd embrace it.
But yeah, that runs through June 2nd at Tokyo Disney Resort. And like I said, check out the article. And we've got a link where you can click to find out more information about the event.
Yeah.
So I think that's it for theme park news this week. We're going to touch very briefly on some pop culture stuff. AKA, once again, let's talk about Avengers Endgame.
Let's never stop talking about it.
Last week, the tickets went on sale finally.
And everyone lost their mind.
And, I mean, and as of this taping, we're less than 2.5 weeks away from an opening. And it broke a few records and broke some websites.
It broke a lot of websites.
Yeah, I mean, it broke the one-day ticket sale record in 6 hours. It passing Star Wars The Force Awakens, Star Wars The Last Jedi, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and Avengers Infinity War.
Damn.
However, Fandango, no one has yet to say how many tickets were sold specifically.
I don't even think they know. They're probably still trying to catch up.
And then according to Atom Tickets, which is one of the other ticketing, it's one of the newer ticketing sites. It's Avenger Endgame ticket pre-sales in its first 24 hours. They said Endgame sold more tickets than Aquaman, Star Wars The Last Jedi, Avengers Infinity War, and Solo's A Star Wars Story combined.
Wow. So
that's,
Oh yeah, we still haven't gotten ours. We're scared of the internet still.
And this was with, ticket sales crashing AMC's website.
Go on to Clint's Twitter. You can see how frustrated people got.
For a few hours, it shut. It pretty much crawled AMC's website to a halt to the point that it completely crashed. Eventually, came back up.
Caused a lot still of the couldn't get tickets.
It caused a lot of the other sites to literally slow to a crawl. I finally got tickets that afternoon. I mean, I went on literally as this thing went on sale.
Oh, no, we did too, because James just looked at me and he goes, "Can you drive me to work today?" And I was like, "Oh, no, is it happening today?" And we still couldn't get them, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, for Infinity War, I had no problem getting tickets for the first IMAX show at the Regal Point Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got through the first few minutes, and it was already gone.
Ugh.
Once I had gotten all the way through. Because basically, like, Fandango was putting you in one of those queues. Which is a smart... I mean, a lot of these big on-sales now, that's what they do, is they put people in a queue. That way, it doesn't crash the website.
But then it ultimately crashes the website.
Well, the thing was happening is a lot of people were going directly to the movie theater websites, and that crashed their sites.
Yeah,
which slowed Fandango down, and then of course, I mean, the big thing, I mean, AMC completely got overwhelmed and crashed. So it's eventually everything got back up and running, and especially with AMC, you know, I was able to get didn't get the showing I wanted, but it was able to get like a 745 3D showing on opening night on Thursday night. But like at the Disney Springs one, like the Dolby Theater, the entire weekend was gone. Like that. I mean, like when I finally was able
like
to,
a Thanos snap.
When I was finally able to get through, I think there was still like maybe some seats left in the first two rows for like the 11 o'clock, the last show of the night. And then I think within an hour or two later, those were all gone. I was able to get the Dolby for Tuesday night. Still haven't gotten tickets for IMAX yet, I did. I got tickets for IMAX the following weekend. I've never, even with Star Wars Force Awakens, I've never seen anything like this. You know, they've been adding, you know, I think later that day and also later in the week, they've been adding more screens. They've been adding overnight shows.
They have to.
Yeah, I know, like, the Point Orlando, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, they added a 2 a.m. IMAX screen.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't even be awake.
And I think the opening night one, the 2 a.m. Friday morning, like, when I looked at it, like, an hour or two after they added, almost all the good seats were gone.
Oh, my God.
So
I feel bad for the theater employees.
Well, the thing that sort of one of the problems we have right now, especially if you have AMC A-list here, is the Disney Springs AMC is undergoing renovations because they're converting, they're in the process of converting more theaters to the dine-in style.
Oh.
And so there's like three or four screens down right now. So they're actually not able to, they're not, they don't have a lot of screens up for Endgame.
As well, they shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's already going to make, you know, losing Universal, having that convert to Cinemark really hasn't helped.
I mean, personally, I haven't noticed a difference with their theater, but apparently there is one.
Yeah, it was just nice to have that option with originally with having the AMC stubs and then having the A-list. It was nice to have the Universal option if Disney Springs. I mean, because I live 8 minutes from Disney Springs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it broke. I mean, it's just, I've never seen a demand like this. I mean,
ever.
Since, this even out, like I said, it outstripped Star Wars Force Awakens, which had a pent-up demand of years. But I just think that's how big the Marvel Cinematic Universe is and how huge people want to see that conclusion from want to see how it ends after Infinity War. From the time, you know, the people who saw it in the theaters last year to everyone who's watched it, you know, bought it, who people are, it's still on Netflix right now. The amount of people who've seen Infinity War has probably skyrocketed. And of course, now they all want to see the conclusion of the story.
Well, yeah, because they let it up so much. Now they're like, hey, do you want to sit in a theater for 3 hours? And all of us are like, mm-hmm, yep.
Well, yeah, I mean, this entire story has been building over 11 years.
Over 21 films.
Yeah, so it's definitely, I'm excited. As I say, I'm already seeing it three times.
Mary might be more excited than I am, and that's a shock.
So, but yeah, it's crazy. I'd never seen a movie ticket sale on sale go like that. So.
But hey, don't worry. If you couldn't get them, you can buy them for $500 on eBay.
Yeah, well, I saw it, and this happens every time, and it's just.
I've never seen that in my 25 years of being that people are selling movie tickets on eBay.
I've seen movie tickets sold on eBay. I remember Star Wars Force Awakens. There was some people selling tickets on eBay.
Oh my God.
You know, it's go to a different showing.
Yeah, it's just, you'll get there. It's okay. Yeah. The movie's not going anywhere. They want your money.
I mean, I want to be at one of the first showings, because I don't want anybody open their big fat mouth and blowing anything.
Yeah.
I've said it on this podcast before, seeing Infinity War, that first showing at an IMAX that night was one of the, unlike any cinematic experience I've ever had. Cause I've never had I've never seen a movie like that go from like people cheering when Thor arrives and people went nuts when that screen went to black, you could hear a pin drop in that theater.
Oh no, I was so lucky because it was maybe like 3 or 4 days after the movie came out, and my boyfriend and I were visiting my mom, and my mother lives in the middle of nowhere, bless her heart. But she was like, oh, let's go see it in the movie theaters. I'm like, awesome. Yeah, I really want to go see it. Walk in. It's like an 11 a.m. showing. Nobody's there. So, of course, like at the end of it, you just hear me like choking, sobbing, and it's just silence and then just like my crying. So we had completely two different experiences.
I know, it's interesting because every time I saw it 4 or 5 times in the movie theater. Every single time it was a packed house.
Yeah.
And every single time there were people there who hadn't seen or heard about the movie.
Oh.
And so every time there was, it was interesting because every time you got the react, there was reaction. So
I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark.
So, but I believe that is it.
It is it.
For this week's Thrill Geek podcast. Thank you again for Emily for...
Thanks for Emily. You're right.
Thank you for filling in.
you're welcome.
Remember, Emily has a YouTube channel, Geek Notice.
Yeah, we actually just put up our own video of the Lightning McQueen thing if you want to check that out. Shameless plugging.
Yes, and you're at Geek Notice on Twitter and Instagram.
I am.
Yes. And I am at Culture and Thrills on Twitter and Instagram.
Go follow him.
Yes. So remember, we are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/Thrill Geek. Please like and follow our Facebook page and be sure to stay tuned. We always do at least one or two live streams every week on our Facebook page. We are youtube.com/Thrill Geek. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have a bunch of new videos up on the YouTube channel.
So many.
Right now. Everything from we have the Lightning McQueen Racing Academy. We have the little, the DJ show from, that takes place out in the courtyard of the theater. We have, what else? We have the Game of Thrones Bellagio Fountain Show.
That thing is so cool, by the way.
Yeah, that it is pretty cool. And we have, our newest vlog is is myself and Sin. We went to the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival and checked out some of the food, the flowers, the topiaries.
I was about to say, was it flowery and gardeny?
Yes, it was flowery and gardeny.
Amazing.
So check that out, because as usual, we act sort of goofy.
And it makes it more fun.
Yes, and ThrillGeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Everything we talked about theme park-wise this night, you can check out in an article on ThrillGeek.com. And remember, you are listening to the Thrill Geek podcast, available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all kinds of places.
Other places.
Yes. Basically, almost anywhere you can listen to a podcast, you can listen to the Thrill Geek podcast. And the Thrill Geek podcast is brought to you by Thrill Geek Travel. Visit thrillgeek.com/travel and check and fill out. You can get a free quote from our friends at MEI Travel. And we've got some deals also up on thrillgeek.com/travel. So remember, the quote is free. Travel using a travel agent costs nothing, saves you a bunch of time. So thrillgeek.com/travel for your free travel quote.
Do it.
Yes. So that is it for the Thrill Geek podcast. And I think we're just gonna call it right there. You think? Yeah.
We'll call it right there.
Yeah,
I think that's good.
Yeah, no plan tonight. He wasn't here.
We promised we didn't do anything.
Yeah, maybe. Which is probably good because he would probably sound like this. Hello, I'm Clint.
He would sound like Batman.
Yeah, he would probably actually sound like Batman.
I was about to say, maybe we should bring him on if he's gonna that would be.
I am Batman.
Are you done? Are you good?
No, I'm just going to ramble on here. We're at 47, 52, 53, 54. Wait a second. No, 55. Oh, we're almost at 48 minutes here. Oh, no, we're at 48 minutes. All right, there we go.
I'm so sorry that we've tortured you like this. this was my fault.
That's it. We hope you enjoyed it. We will see you next time.
Bye.
See you in the parks.